As you know, we've been working through a series. We've been talking about beating procrastination on our first Sunday of the year. Then we talked about achieving a healthy self-respect and then expanding our minds and extending our physical lives. We talked about last week. And this week we're talking about enlarging our enjoyment of life. And the reason we're doing it in this order is we wanted to make sure that after we talked about extending our physical lives, we talked about having enjoyment in our lives, because some people have a lot of birthdays but not much life. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've seen people that have had a lot of birthdays or nothing but miserable. And so how do we get to a place where we can enjoy our lives no matter what's going on around us? And I tell you, we just came back from the mission trip in Mexico last week. One thing that came very obvious to me when we were in Mexico is here's people that don't have the big house, that don't have the pool in the backyard, that don't have the fancy car. In fact, they don't have a car, and they don't even know if they're going to have enough to eat that week. And yet we saw so much joy among the Christian body down there. And it really was a witness to us. They always say you always get more when you go on a mission trip than what you give. And I have no doubt we gave a lot. But I also know that we received so much, and a reminder to us that, hey, sometimes you just have to get this straight in your life. My presenter is not coming up. I'm pushing it, but it's not working. You want to come up and help me, Will? There we go. Okay. There are two great days in a person's life, right? The day that we're born and the day we figure out why we were born. And that is a great day when we figure out why we were born. Because we were born for a purpose. And if we're not accomplishing our purpose, I don't care how many things you have in place, you are not going to be happy. I've seen people with the fanciest houses, the fanciest spouse, the fanciest everything, and they weren't happy. In fact, they were miserable. And there has to be a difference, doesn't there? And it seems to me the thing is that they don't know what their purpose is. They don't know why they're on earth. They don't find fulfillment in why they are here. So before we get into the practical stuff, which we will get into at the end of the sermon, today I want to talk about what we must have in place, and then at the end of the sermon we'll give some practical advice on how to expand your joy if you're already a Christian and you really are making a priority of Jesus Christ. But to expand the enjoyment of our life, we want to look at 1 John 1, 1 through 12. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, and he came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. I believe the happiness is found by fulfilling our purpose. That if we do not have this peace in place, there is no other thing you can put in place that's going to make you happy. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just will not work. And until we get that figured out, and there's so many people that want to get all this other stuff figured out, and then they make room for having Christ as a central part of their lives, and they don't understand that until you make Jesus Christ a central part of your life, none of this stuff will make you happy. And so we got to talk about this, because after all, we were spoken to existence by the Word, right? Everything that was created by Him, through Him, and for Him. And if it was created for Him and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, then no wonder we're not happy, right? We are created for His purposes. Do you believe this? Do you believe you were created by God? If you don't believe you're created by God, I feel sorry for you, because you think you came from nothing, you're going to nothing, you're just highly developed pond scum, as I like to say. When you start to believe that Almighty God knit you together in your mother's womb, that Almighty God spoke and breathed life into your spirit. When you believe that, when you believe that the God, that same God who cared so much about you to create you and to knit you together so wonderfully, when you believe that that God is also the God who came in the person of Jesus Christ, died on a cross, defeated death, so that even though we die from a fallen world, yet we shall live and live in eternity with that glorious God that loves us. And so no matter what happens, we always have this bigger picture, and we have our purpose. We know why we are here. And it's so sad when people think that they're just here as a cosmic accident. Let's read it together from John. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. Everything was created for him. He created it all. You know, this is an amazing scripture. We know that this is one of the earliest Christian writings ever. Not the Gospel of John, but the prologue to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written sometime later than the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But what we know is that this prologue, this very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was created through him and for him and for his purposes. And nothing was created that was not created by him. That is a soaring text. In fact, we know that the symbol of John from ancient Christendom was an eagle because of his soaring language. Because remember who John was. He was the beloved disciple. Jesus talked about him often as the beloved disciple. You know, he had his 70, he had his 12, and in that 12 he had his 3, and in that 3 he had his 1. That one that he counted on, maybe that was like Katie's other half, right? That other person that he counted on, John, was that young disciple that loved him and adored him. And when Jesus died and was resurrected, we suspect, theologians who have studied this, and language experts, which I'm not a language expert, but I take their word for it, but they tell us that this language came from the Aramaic because it easily translates back into Aramaic and rhymes in the Aramaic, which is very unusual. And what Aramaic, why that's such a big deal is because Jesus himself spoke Aramaic. It was about that time when Israel was transferring over into Greek, and we know that all the other apostles wrote in Greek. But in this particular text, we believe that this came from the very earliest days of Christendom. It was probably right after they discovered that the one who was crucified on a cross was buried in the ground and ascended high unto the Father. This is the one that they were worshiping. And they're like, this is the God of life. He created everything there is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they come to this realization, what a glorious God we worship. That this God who pre-existed at all times, loves us so much to come to the world and die for us and beat death and resurrect. You know, this is why it's such a big deal. He created everything, and we're created for his purpose. And if I could just pop on here to the second one, you see that not only did he create us, but he spoke himself into existence. And that's amazing. God spoke himself into existence. I don't know if you've ever driven yourself nuts in your mind about where did God come from. I mean, obviously, there's some unmoved mover, right? And we all struggle with this. You're not the only one that struggled with that concept. But God spoke himself into existence, the only one that could, the only one that is not limited by physical realities. He spoke himself into existence, and guess what? When he did it, Jesus Christ was there. And this is huge. I'm about to make one of the biggest theological points I ever made in this congregation, so listen closely. The reason this is such a big deal is because when Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago in that cradle in Bethlehem, he had already existed from eternity. He was there. And you note how John uses this creation language. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he created everything. And he said, let there be life, right? Just like in Genesis. And why is this such a huge theological point? The heresies always try to diminish this reality. They always try to say that Jesus was not pre-existent God, or they say that Jesus was only a human being and became divine. That's what all the heresies, boil them down, that's what they all teach. Every heresy about Christ, from the beginning of time, from the Gnostics to the Jehovah Witness, to the, it's all the same. They all say the same thing. They try to deny one or the other. But God came in the person of Jesus Christ, who preexisted all time, came in the person of Jesus Christ. This word became flesh. Now, I'm going to get into why that's such a big deal, but I want us to read from verse 14 together. Can we read this? So the word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Here's the theological point that I want to make this morning. If Jesus was always God, you know what that means? God the Father was always Jesus. You know what else that means? It means that God the Father is still Jesus. You know what else that means? It means when I stand before the judgment seat of God, God is still Jesus. Jesus is holy and righteous, and he calls people to sacrifice and to serve and to repent from their sin and turn from their sinful ways. He's no different from God the Father. God the Father is just like Jesus the Son, who is just like the Holy Spirit. They are three, the great three in one. And we always want to make God fit into our little packages the way we think that God has to be revealed, because physically we cannot imagine that three can be one, or one can be three. Gregory Nazianzen said, if I think of the one, I think of the three. When I think of the three, I'm drawn back to the one, and we shall both be frenzy-stricken if we're prying into the mysteries of God. These are the mysteries of God. It's the way God has revealed himself. Jesus Christ existed before the creation of the world. And our God, who indeed is holy and righteous and calls us to a holy living, is also a merciful and loving God. Always. From the beginning of time, this was always God's plan. This was always God's idea. This was always God's intention that there would be life. Not just long living life, but life. He said, let there be life. And he said, it's good. And that's how we need to start facing our life. But we cannot do it without Christ as being part of it. And I know I've been belaboring this point, but I just do not want to get onto the practical stuff till I talk about this. You've got to be impractical sometimes. You've got to look at the basic realities of life. And this is a necessity. You cannot be fulfilled and happy until this piece is cared for. Look what Jesus said. Let's read it. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And so we find ourselves in life with all these problems that go on, and we think, I can't be happy unless this situation changes. I can't make it unless my situation is better. Where did I leave my glasses? Did I leave them down there? Thank you, honey. What's that? She was wondering when I was going to ask for it. I didn't need my notes till now. So the way I look at it, if he's the one who created us, and he's the life, and we do not make him the central part of our life, then we're turning away from the light into the darkness, just like that first generation. He came to his own, yet they didn't receive him. And until we get this main point right, we'll never be happy. So we've got to get this right. I like this picture here. The thief comes, as we just read, to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have abundance. You see this little girl, just, it's life, right? This is what God is calling us to have life like this, to look at life and say, wow, I'm alive today. Ray Lynn turned a year just a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago. And when she turned a year old, all of a sudden, just all this language she's starting to pick up, and it's starting to walk freely. And I mean, it is just fun seeing her embrace life. Now, she still has her human moments, let me tell you. She could throw a hissy fit like anybody else. But she is really embracing life. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, I got you know, and she just can't get her hands on enough stuff and just enjoy and appreciate life. This, I think, is what we are being called to. To enjoy life in just that kind of way. God calls us to embrace it. He wants us to have more life. This is what his desire is. So, but by the way, did you know that frogs have more lives than cats? You probably know that, right? Cats have 9 lives, they always say, right? But frogs croak every night. Yeah. 40 times life is mentioned. 40 times life is mentioned in the Gospel of John. The one who just saw the resurrected Lord. 40 times life, life, let there be life. Now, you probably remember Jack London, right? Jack London, of course, wrote, you know, The Call of the Wild. We all read it in elementary school, right? Jack London, one of the things that he said, he almost got it right. Listen to what he said. He said, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze. A proper function for a person is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them." There's where he went wrong. He was doing well, wasn't he? But he said, "I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." We are not like a fireworks. It just goes off and it's over. We are an eternal flame. We are not just to be a blaze. I have done funerals and listened to eulogies. And, you know, sometimes when you listen to eulogies, and Pastor Kathy, Pastor Denny can identify with this, and I'm sure some of you can identify with this. But when they get up and they do those eulogies sometimes, and I love eulogies, I really do, and I always insist that there's someone in the family do a eulogy because it gets personal and remembers that person so well. But sometimes they're doing a funeral for someone that burned out their liver at the age of 40, or someone that overdosed or something, or was killed in an accident because of drinking and driving, and they'll say, "But I'll tell you this, he really lived life." Uh-uh. No, that is not a Christian life. A Christian life is not trying to just use it up and go out in a blaze. A Christian life is an eternal flame, that we live long and well, as long as we can. That's why we talked about extending our days last year. We should be taking care of the temple of God always. But while we're taking care of the temple of God, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be enjoying our life and using it to the glory of God. Because when we start using it for the glory of God, that's where we're going to find incredible joy. That's exactly what happens. Because God made us for this. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, let's read it together. "And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as our love overflows to you." You know, I hope that describes your passion and your love for Christ and for one another. Because that's what life is about. It's about relationships. And if we make all this other stuff the central part of our lives, we will never be happy. You know, Winston Churchill, he was, you know, his movie's in the theater right now. I really want to get to see that movie. I just haven't got there yet. But I really love some of the things that Winston Churchill said. Winston Churchill, he talked about when he was dying, he set up his funeral plans. And one of the things that he had laid out is that they're in that huge church that at the end of the service, they played taps, as they often do at these military funerals. And then immediately following taps, when it shut down, he had another trumpeter station to begin playing Reveille. "It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning." And as he wrote, "Yes, there are bad things in this world, but the worst things are not the last word." And that's how we look at life as a Christian. We live life to the fullest. We live, enjoy it every bit that we can. We try to make it as good as possible. But we are the children of God. And as the children of God, we say that we appreciate what we have. Have you ever known these kids that don't appreciate their heritage, don't appreciate what their mom and dad have done for them, don't appreciate anything that they've been given, and they just think that the whole world owes everything to them, and they're ungrateful? Have you ever known those kind of kids? You want those kind of kids? I don't want those kind of kids. I want kids that appreciate me and appreciate what I've done for them and understand that I've given them a legacy and I want the best for them. I'm trying to help their generation do a little better than the last generation and all those kind of things. But sometimes we're not those kind of kids for God. We're the children of God. And what kind of children should we be, Christians? We must be joyful and grateful. every single day of our lives, no matter what's going on. Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we grieve, sometimes we cry, sometimes we get angry. But we turn around and say, and yet, my Lord lives. And yet, this is not the last word. And yet, I love my God. And that's how we get through this stuff. So, the practical stuff. And again, if you don't put that first piece in place, all this stuff is a waste of your time. So if you don't want to accept Jesus as your Lord, you may as well check out right now. Because this stuff will do you no good if Jesus isn't the central part and the purpose for your life. If that piece is in place, though, there are other things that a Christian can do to improve our lives, to increase our happiness. First thing we need to do is agree that we can be happy, right? And sometimes you just got to agree, I'm going to stop being miserable. Some people just got comfortable being miserable. Some people just got uncomfortable being in grief. Some people just got uncomfortable being mad. Some people, you know, I mean, some point we all have to say, okay, I'm done with this. I am choosing to be happy. I'm choosing. Now, I know that sometimes there are medical issues and you need to get treatment for that if that's the case. But if that's not the case, you got to make a choice. From now on, I'm going to be happy. Secondly, B, budget our resources. What this means is you've got to take care of some of those things. It's just taking all these bites out of your life so that you can't financially do the things that make you happy. You can't do the things that makes you, or stands in the way of you fulfilling your whole purpose. You've got to be like these ants. Why are frogs so happy? They eat what? Did I just say ants? I'm sorry. So I have that stupid book in my mind. Why are frogs so happy? They eat whatever bugs them, right? And sometimes we just got to get rid of some of that stuff that's bugging us. So let's talk about that. Sometimes we have things in our lives we just can't afford. Have you looked at your phone bill lately? Is there any way you can improve your phone bill? Do you really need a landline if you have a cell phone and you don't have a business? What can you do to start taking care of some of these expenses you don't need in your life? Are you trying to live grander than what you can afford? Do you have a bad habit that's keeping you from doing the things that you want to do? You have to look at all these types of things and say, I've got to get this stuff out of my life. We've got to budget our time. We've got to say, I've got to use my time better. So yeah, if you've got a habit of being on social networking or a habit of watching too much TV, is that keeping you away from doing the things that you were created to do and to standing in the way of accomplishing your goals? Because here's the deal. You cannot wish your way into being happy. Did you know that? You just can't feel your way into it. Feelings will lie. You've got to do the right things. Take the right steps to get to where you want to be. And if where you want to be is happy, then you've got to start dealing with some of this stuff. You've got to just get a family meeting together once a week. Or at least, you know, mom and dad. Beth and I found that this was very helpful to us. We were having a lot of trouble making sure that we had some fun, that we had some plans when we finally get together once in a while since I started up here. And we decided we need to start doing a family meeting regularly. And so every week, one of the things we do when I'm home is we meet and we talk about, here's our plan for this coming week. It has been so helpful to us to make sure that we could still have some fun because we've saved that time for each other instead of just losing the time. We finally get together and it's like, well, there's no plans and nothing has worked out and we miss out on enjoying one another. So this is, you know, these are the kinds of things we can do. C, count our blessings. Do you have a prayer journal? Do you have a notebook somewhere? Do you write down? If you're not happy, you need to do this. You know, sometimes you just got to count your blessings. If you feel like God's answer is always no, you'd be surprised how many times he has answered yes. And you just took the blessing and went on. And if you start keeping track of all the times that God has said yes, you will be amazed at how many blessings you have in your life. So you count your blessings. You declutter your space. Yeah, I know. In this world where we have too much stuff, sometimes there's just so much stuff that stuff is supposed to increase your enjoyment of life, right? That's what it's for, isn't it? And what do? We get too much of that stuff, and then everything's cluttered. Our cupboards are cluttered. Our house is cluttered. You have to make a decision. My life is being decreased by this clutter, so I'm going to deal with the clutter. Every night I'm going to clean out a cupboard or a drawer or something, and every week I'm going to take care of the clutter in a room, and I'm going to start decluttering and get things into a place where I'm more happy and can enjoy being in my house, because right now I sit around, it's like, I feel like it's closing in on me, and that's no fun, is it? Second, enhance our health. We talked about this last week. So I'm going to ask you, do you remember the four haves? Katie did so well showing these to us. What are they? Yell them out. What did I hear? Half a plate should be vegetables and fruit. Half a gallon of water. I hear it here. What else? Half an hour of exercise. What's the fourth one? What? If you do those things, you're halfway to getting rid of your stress. That wasn't one of the Katie's, but that's good. have that other half a person that's helping you in that journey. Someone that's holding you accountable and moving you forward. So if I could just give you a couple more hints. Get smaller plates. If you have large plates, get smaller plates at home. You'll eat less. Do these kinds of plan out meals that are healthy meals, and then go shopping. Not after you go shopping and make whatever you have in your, it's what I have in the cupboard, it's what we have to eat. But sometimes we need to, the reason we talk about this one, man, it's hard to be happy if you're not healthy, right? So we got to make sure that we're healthy so that we can be happy. And finally, the last one is expand our relationships, take care of our relationships. And this morning we're talking about the number one relationship, making sure that this vertical line is in place. Because if this one isn't, nothing else will work. We're putting round pegs in square holes and wondering why they don't fit. And I've seen so many people frustrating themselves with that. And it breaks my heart as a pastor to see people missing out on the joy of Christ that is available to all of us. This morning we are receiving the sacrament. We're going to be extra careful this morning because of the flu season. What we're going to do is we're going to have four stations, two at the front and two at the back. Right, Kathy? We have four stations. And then you're going to come through, and the bread will be placed into your hand by people that have gloves on, and also they will hand you a cup. We would ask that you would receive the bread as soon as it's given to you, and then receive the cup. And then there are going to be garbage cans at the side. I don't see them right now, though. Okay, Pastor Kathy's going to get them. No problem. So what we'll do is about half of you will go toward the back and the other half toward the front. We also have people in the balcony. You'll come downstairs and receive from the places in the back. Okay? Everyone understand the directions? We're going to consecrate the elements at this time. Do you have the Great Thanksgiving there? Next slide. Maybe you don't have it. I thought it was going to be there. I could consecrate him without him. That's fine. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you so much that as we come to receive these sacraments today, that you are a God who came into this world to love us, to show us the love that is available from your throne of grace. We thank you, God, for showing us the way, for helping us to live lives that are better for us. And so, Lord, we give you gratitude and just we're so grateful to you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. We honor you today, and we ask your blessing here. We remember on the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, we gathered those disciples, and though he was going to his own death, he had one thing in mind, and that was our lives. And he wanted us to have the best lives that we could possibly have. And so he wanted us to remember constantly about the love of God that was expressed on that cross 2,000 years ago. And so he told his disciples who he knew were going to be grieving greatly in the coming days. He said, "This is my body, which was broken for you." He said, "Take this and eat it and remember that I died for you. Remember this as often as you do it." And likewise, after the meal, he took that cup and that great tradition. He said, "This is my blood, which was poured out for you." Said, "As often as you drink this, remember me. Remember what I've done for you. never forget the most important thing that ever happened in the history of the world. That the God of the universes, the pre-existent Word of God, came, dwelt among us, was crucified on a cross, and defeated death. So in remembrance of these great acts in Jesus Christ, we offer a heart of thanksgiving. We ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit on this bread and on this cup. Let them be for us the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be renewed, that we would become one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. All honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.